So I want to explain the eclectic nature of what I was going to do. Unfortunately for you, you have to put up with me on the last Sunday of each month. And fitting in with that, Paul has asked that we follow the Luke readings. And so Paul sent me a list of readings to cover each Sunday, each of those last Sundays, May through to November. And the passages are all in Luke, but they're passages that that aren't in other Gospels. I looked at the list, and they're all rather obscure, unusual passages, and my immediate reaction was, oh no, I couldn't do that. And if you compare that with Sandra's courage 2 weeks ago and her brilliance when she was talking about the end stuff of Luke chapter 14, the cost of discipleship, and I really want to affirm what Sandra did a couple of weeks ago. In fact, let's applaud her for that. That was brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Right. Thank you for that. Anyway, I got to thinking, how can I escape using those passages that Paul's given me? I'll be a wimp, whereas Sandra was really brave and courageous. Anyway, 12 days ago, Tuesday the 14th, I woke up at 5 in the morning and I suddenly thought, I know, I'll get the congregation, you lot, to share your favourite scripture passages. And that way I'll get out of doing these funny odd bits. But I'll do it in a controlled way so that the first time, like today, we'll look at the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, and then we'll look at the history the next month, and then we'll look at Psalms the next month, and then we'll look at Isaiah, and then we'll look at the Old Testament prophets, and then the synoptic gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then we'll look at John's gospel, and then the letters, and that'll take us through for the next 10 years. Golly. Oh. And that's what I originally had planned to do today, well, sort of. And once I'm awake, my brain's ticking and I've just got to get up and start planning. So at 5:22, having lain there for 22 minutes thinking about that, I got up and almost the first thing I do is read Word for Today before looking up the lectionary readings. And I turn to the lectionary, and the gospel reading that day was John 15, and this is, you know, for me, this is one of the great verses. You did not choose me, but I chose you, says Jesus, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. And God's saying that to each of us. So I saw that, and then turned to Word for Today. And blow me down, the scripture from Word for Today that day was from Luke 14. Yeah, ironic, eh? And it was this about they began to make excuses. How's that? Yeah. This sounds familiar. Oh, this is Andrew's story, isn't it? Yeah. Oh. And I thought, hey, God, you're not talking to me, are you? You're talking to someone else. That's for someone else. Oh, yeah. And in the great passage, as you've heard, Jesus tells the story of planning a banquet and invites the guests, but they've got lots of excuses. So the host says, none of them will come to my banquet. The word for today, that day, that morning, keeping on going with all these coincidences, said this. When God speaks to you, that's the moment of truth. At that point, you either make a commitment or you make an excuse. There and then, you're deciding your destiny. What is God asking you to do? That's what's making you hesitate? Fear of failure? Fear of being criticised? Fear usually comes dressed up as an excuse. And every time you waver or pull back, you lay another brick in the wall. This is not Pink Floyd. That will unfortunately keep you from reaching your God-ordained destiny. So, if God's telling you to do something, take his hand and move forward in faith. You can't control the direction of the wind, but by God's grace, you can adjust your sails to take you where you need to go. Remember, opportunity is a visitor. Don't assume it will be back tomorrow. Now is the time. Move while the door is open. Okay, all good. Doing the readings. And for years, I've got up at 5:30 and tuned into Radio Rema on 5:40 a.m. When they have some teaching. And at that hour, there's a bloke called Chuck Missler who teaches. And I think he's the best Bible different teachers suit different people. Like, for instance, I can't stand Joyce Meyer. But Chuck Missler, for me, is brilliant. And different teachers suit different people. Anyway, I tuned into that. And sure enough, it's Luke 14 that he was teaching about that morning. Did I get the message? Oh, well. So then I went through a whole debate with myself what do I teach about since I've got this session? Do I reiterate what Sandra talked about? Do I do Luke 13 as Paul said I had to? Or today, the 26th of May, is always celebrated as St. Augustine's Day. And St. Augustine went from Rome as a missionary to England and set himself up in Canterbury. And it's from that England became Christianized, although there was also the ongoing influence of the Celtic Church, especially Scotland, Ireland, and beginning to filter in. And so that eventually dovetailed in with the Roman Church that was there. So do I teach about that sort of stuff? And then link that to Bishop Selwyn, who did exactly the same thing in New Zealand, following on from the great work the missionaries had done. Excuse me. So do I teach about that sort of stuff? And then I thought, no. The next thing that could be a possibility is that today is the sixth Sunday in Easter. And that means that this Thursday coming is Ascension Day, when we commemorate Jesus ascending to heaven, 40 days after the great events of Easter time. And then 10 days after that, making it 50 days, Pentecost, which means 50 days, the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church and the birthday of the church. So maybe I could talk about those things. So anyway, I talked with Paul later that week, and I decided I'd do what I want to do anyway. Right. So that brings us to today's readings. Here's Luke 14 anyway.
Yep, so the start of Luke 14, which you can find on page 1621 of your Pew Bibles. And it's Jesus at a Pharisee's house. So one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So, taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. And then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say.
Thanks, Sandra. Okay, so there's that part of the story. And it's Luke the physician who identifies that the man had dropsy. Let's go to the second part of the story, and you'll recognise a lot of this.
When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honoured in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
Thank you. So, there's a whole lot of actual teachings going on here about that service is much more important and how important humility is. Humility is not putting yourself down, rather it's comparing yourself to Jesus and offering your gifts and your service. Okay, so then it goes to the story of the great banquet. But I haven't got any big cards, and I'm not going to tell it again because that was brilliantly done. So I'm going to skip from that. Yeah, we know all that. Right. Okay, all right, I'll do that bit then. See, I'm obedient. It was What are you laughing for? So here we go, see. It was customary to send two invitations, to a party. The first to announce the event, and the second to tell guests that it's ready, everything's ready, come. The guests in Jesus' story insulted the host by making excuses. I'd never make excuses. When he issued the second invitation. In Israel's history, God's first invitation to the people came from Moses and the prophets, and the second invitation came from Jesus. The banquet's ready. I'm here. The religious leaders accepted the first invitation. They believed that God had called them to be their people, and so they're going to be very righteous and very religious. But they insulted God by refusing to accept his son. Thus, as the master in the story sent his servants into the streets to invite the needy, so God sends his son into the whole world to reach people out there on the streets like the street bands are trying to reach. Jesus is not calling us to join him in a labour camp, but in a feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we're going to hear about that eventually, come Christmas time, when we get to the book of Revelation then, when God and his beloved church will be joined forever. Haven't you got something to do? Hopeless. So I use this slide with the parable son stuff, or the second son, and it fits this as well. You know, what What if God's inviting you and you say no? What do we do? So we should be following Jesus wherever he leads. Discipleship has to include sacrifice, and we've got to face the cost. Jesus talks of assessing the cost first. This is the part that Sandra went on and looked at, talked about. Half-hearted followers won't get Jesus' job done. And the chapter then ends with a note about salt. Salt is for flavouring. It can become tasteless, though, and we need to be careful that we don't become tasteless as Christians. Good salt can purify. It makes us thirsty. Be thirsty for God. Be flavoursome for God. Hell should be your greatest priority. God's love is holy, and sin rebels against that love. Heaven and hell are forever, much longer than the pleasure you might get out of a sin. You send yourself to hell. Sin doesn't do that. You send yourself to hell when we reject God's provision for that sin. And that his provision, of course, is Jesus. The real you is eternity. Spend it with God, or will you spend it somewhere else? So things just keep happening, don't they, this morning? It shows what a community church we've been, and that the praise and thanksgiving is really appropriate. And so it's really appropriate, the final hymn that we're going to sing. I want to talk about this before we do, because we're going to sing the national anthem. I want to point out some of the words before we sing it. So if you look up here, Ihoa, you're full of surprises. It's eclectic this morning. After all, God, we are your people. We are your people.
It's actually like God of nations.
Yeah. You listen to us, we listen to you. You share us this great love.
No, that's not.
It's
coming
down. Grace. Yeah. Yeah. Grace. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. You're a good friend to us.
No. Kia hua is like the fruit. So like the fruit.
Now hua after hua. It is
fruit,
not good fruit.
Blessing.
Yeah.
Blessing flourishes.
You care for us. You look after us. You look after our nation. Hey. And then let's skip to, there's a couple of verses. There are two verses from the that I'm not going to use. But if you look at this and how this fits, so if you look at the words here, asking God to bless this place from dissension, from envy, from hate and corruption, guard our state. So if you think of the influence of March the 15th and the way that's really appropriate for us. And the next verse, so we're asking God to bless our land, guide her in the nation's van. Maybe the apostrophe's in the wrong place with nations, in the way in which we, New Zealand, has over the last months has been in the forefront of world news because of the work of Jacinda and trying to spread the ideas that are in that previous verse about keeping us from dissension and hate. Preaching love and truth to man, working out thy glorious plan. plan God defend New Zealand. Okay, musicians, let's rip into it. Let's sing this.